the question is about will and mindfulness or sati, and whether sati or mindfulness is totally a function of mind, and the relation between spirit complex and mind, or what really is, what is the contribution of mind to development of mindfulness, and what is the greater work that's done on mind, body, spirit associated with mindfulness practice? Well, it's a good question. I mean, the point is, what is mind? And so in Buddhism, the five skandhas, the heaps or collections of energy or of phenomena that give us our total experience, the last three could be called mind: perception, fashionings or samskara, and consciousness. And perception is understood as five bodily sense perceptions plus the mind sense, or the perception of mind, perception by mind of mind, mind perceiving thought or consciousness, right? Thought perceiving thought, or consciousness perceiving thought. Yeah. So perception, fashioning, which is conceivings or fashioned elements in mind, the contents of mind, what we call emotion, what we call thinking or thought form, imagination, memory, visions, what we call intuition, all samskara, or contents, particular elements in mind, of mind process and activity. And then consciousness, the fifth skanda, being sentient awareness that allows perception of thought form. Meaning, how do we know, you know, I think, therefore I am? Well, how do you know you're thinking? Consciousness perceives thinking and therefore assumes its identity. I think, therefore I am. Well, that's full of presumption. I think, therefore I am. Descartes. Is itself a fashioned product, samskara, or some, you know, ahamkara, self-conceiving, which is the fashioning of a thought form of identity, me, so-called ego, me, being a an identification, a contraction of sentience into a sense of personal identity. Okay, that contracted sentience into fashioned, assumed personal identity thinks, meaning is perceiving or aware, it's aware that it is perceiving thought. there's a sensing awareness that there's something called thought occurring, or that I am, this I is perceiving thought form process, therefore it assumes its identity is real. That's I think, therefore I am. But actually it all rests on assumption and presumption. Now, mindfulness is naked awareness, or non-grasping awareness. It's touch and go, or recognizing and, you know, returning to an object of concentration, like the breath. So some teachers call it touch and go. It means acknowledging the perception of something, and then returning to the object of breath, of concentration, like breath. Now, in real mindfulness, not imagining and thinking I am being mindful, in real mindfulness, there is no fashioning. This is only a very few people, only a few Buddhists understood this later on, or only a few Buddhists put this down into doctrine over 1,000 years after Gautama. There was a teaching called Amanasikara, and that fellow is a good friend of mine. Amanasikara, he was a Siddha, Indian Mahayana. I forgot his name. Names are not important, right? Amanasikara was given as a kind of advanced teaching on doing mindfulness or achieving the goal. Amanas, means not. Manas means mind. Sikara is sort of awareness or vigilance. It basically means non-mindfulness. And the idea is, if you're thinking, if you are thinking, if there's thought-based acknowledgement of doing mindfulness, you're not in mindfulness. Mindfulness, essentially, is non-grasping attentiveness, or non-grasping attention that remains focused on the object of concentration, like the breath, without fashioning thought forms. It's the touch and go is the acknowledgement by a thought form of a perception. Meaning, these are all, you know, presumed entities, all of which are empty and illusory. But let's use words. I am sitting in meditation. I perceive a thought, or I'm focusing on the breath, let's say, okay? Attention is watching the breath coming and going out from the nose of the head, meaning the head zone rather than the nostrils. I perceive in-breath. I perceive out-breath. I perceive no more breath, meaning a pause. Then I perceive a thought. Then, or I think. And then only later I realize, oh, I'm thinking. So I perceive, or I conceive that I've been thinking. I make a conception that, oh, I'm not watching the breath, which is not happening, perhaps, after the exhalation. I am not watching breath, or I'm not in stillness, aware of the slow exhalation, let's say, but now am thinking. That is an acknowledgement of arising. It's basically a conception of a presumed perception of thought. And then we go back to the breath, or attention is turned back. The thinking of mindfulness indicates non-mindfulness. In real mindfulness, as far as I know, one is unable to be aware that one is in mindfulness, but attention is focused on an object, such as breath. And so, Amanasikara is basically non-attentiveness, saying that if you think you're being attentive, you're not being attentive. But is attention a portion of mind or not? Of course it is. You can say that attention, the sati, mindfulness, attention, that is being held steady on an object of concentration, is not a product of mind, but it's the basic sentience of mind. Consciousness, or fifth standa, is being held steady by will. In a way, it's basically will holding mind perception, the perception function of mind, or mental perception, or the mind sense, rather than the body senses, the mind sense function of perception is being held steady by will to remain focused on in this case, a biological cyclic process of breathing. So you can say that attention, which is basically perception, but To the extent that there's no fashioning, meaning we're not thinking, we're just attending to the object of concentration, like the breath. That, you know, is it that attention is holding the mind sense or the sense of kinesthetic, you know, the body perception, the body sense perception of breath. Meaning, if breath is the object of concentration, and the attending to what's the object of concentration is the breath coming and going. When there's no breath, what are you attending to? You're maybe attending to the very slow, very, very subtle exhalation coming from the nose, or a very imperceptible kind of releasing associated with exhalation. Is that body sense? Is that kinesthetic sense? Maybe. Okay. Attention or consciousness is being held with that sense, particular sense door or sense channel. And when anything else arises, it's recognized and one returns by will the attention to that particular sense channel of kinesthetic or body sense, breath and or exhalation, you know, very subtle body signals coming associated with breath, with exhalation. That's not a thinking process. If you think about it, you're out of it. But it could be called a mind process. It's sort of the will holding consciousness steady in a single line of perception without samskara. Once there is a thought about it, you're out of it. You've lost it. And Amanasikara, I think it was Maitripa, was a Siddha, Indian Mahayanist, Maitripa, good guy. Amanasikara is basically saying that there's no need to make effort to achieve mindfulness or freedom from attachment. One just needs to prevent any kind of grasping. And even mindfulness can become a form of grasping. To the extent that one is thinking about it. Or to the extent that one imagines one must do practice, one is making effort, which is a form of it's a form of samskara. It's a fashioning. There's the fashioned belief in the need to make effort to do spiritual practice, and that represents some kind of grasping or attentive that breaks the awakened state that is omnipresent, meaning enlightenment. Some Tibetan Buddhism talks about that Dzogchen. The enlightenment is the natural state, but it's associated with non-grasping and non-effort. And any kind of effort, including practice or mindfulness, can become an obstruction to realizing the natural state. That's true, meaning awakening, or the moments, you know, the four stages of enlightenment. The four stages of awakening are beyond all the five skandhas. So they're beyond any kind of consciousness of non-fashioned perception, of steady perception being held steady on the body or sensing, and the will holding consciousness or attention on that without thought form making. That's still not what gnosis is. That's still some form of fashioning. So that, you know, you can't think your way to awakening, and you can't think your way in some sense of performance of mindfulness. And even mindfulness or attentiveness can become an attachment or associated with a fashioning or a samskaric activity. So I would say that real mindfulness is non-fashioned, stable consciousness, perceptual, focused consciousness, or consciousness with focused on with focused non-fashioned perception. There's perception. We can call it perception, but if you call it perception, you're out of mindfulness. In mindfulness, there's no naming that I'm holding attention steady on focused, in a stable perception of sense at the nose. So, okay, anyway, so I would say again that real mindfulness, yes, is a function of mind or sentience, but essentially it's free of fashioning. Therefore, if there's any associated effort, it's not mindfulness. And if there's any associated self-recognition or reflective conceptualization, meaning now I am mindful, that's a form of grasping and fashioning, and that's not mindfulness. So, well, I think that will is a function of spirit complex, not mind. Will is the formless, essential power of intelligent energy. Focusing the capacity to do work in mind or body is a function of will, and it's a function of spirit complex. So by the mind, we may move the body. By the will, we may move the mind and the body. So the power that maintains consciousness or sentience is will. It's a product, it's a quality of the spirit complex, not the mind. And that's why Anapanasati, or mindfulness practice in Buddhism, is in many ways not only a stilling of body and mind, but a linkage of mind and spirit. And so, meaning, Buddhists won't talk this way about body, mind, spirit, but, true Buddhists won't, but I can, because I'm bringing in the raw material. And I would say that as will, the power that allows body and mind work to occur, the power by which work in body and mind occurs, is a quality of spirit, that will. Then, by the development of will, and Ra linked will to concentration. And so they talk, if you look in the raw material for references to the word will, you'll probably find many words like we will do this or something, and they have to get rid of that. But there are many references to the quality of will. I believe Ra associates it with concentration or the concentrative ability. I think that concentration per se it requires functions of mind, consciousness, and perception, free from samskara or grasping or fashioning. But the capacity to develop or maintain concentration requires will or integrated spirit and mind complex activity. So anyway, thank you for being here tonight. I appreciate it a lot. Very deep talk. And please take good care of yourselves. See you next time, and good night.